Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Happy Trails. Written by Andy Conduit Turner. Narrated by Justin Fife. Legends are a funny thing, part history, part fiction, and so often they inspire new stories and events. Tales of Bigfoots, Bunyips, and El Chupacabra satisfied my cravings for incredible narratives when I was younger. But as I grew up, I began to take more of an interest in local legends, the kind you can explore for yourself. Every small town has its own haunted places. Ours was an old abandoned theme park a few miles outside of the town limits. Happy Trails. It was a coincidence that I began to think about Happy Trails again earlier this year. The cashier at the hardware store, ringing up the work supplies I was buying, was a girl I vaguely remembered from school. She didn't give any indication she recognized me, and since I couldn't recall her name, I spared us both the awkward small talk and didn't mention it. As my day wore on, however, I reminisced to myself about the old days. Our group that evening was of myself, Steve Lucas, his girlfriend Stacy Gunderson, her best friend Mary, who was from another school and as such I didn't know her last name, Brandon King, and, of course, Lizzie Ford, who I'd had a huge crush on since we were 12. The walk would take about an hour and it was already getting dark by the time we set off, but it was mild, so the walk was pleasant, and we took turns telling Happy Trail stories as we went. I started the storytelling with a classic detailing why the park was closed. Some loser teen working as a ride attendant had been bullied by bikers to keep the bumper cars running during a rainstorm. Some said it was a bolt of lightning, while others claim it was bad wiring. But everyone agreed that no one made it out of that last ride. Stacy and Mary teamed up to tell a story about the mistress of the park's owner, a girl who used to run the ring toss. They disagreed as to whether she truly loved him or wanted his money. But the story went that when she threatened to tell his wife about the affair, he'd bound and gagged her and sent her up on the Ferris wheel before snapping off the key for the controls. If you climbed up to the top cabin, you'd find her bones. And if you listened, you could still hear her mumbled cries. Brandon scoffed that only kids and rubes were scared by ghost stories before telling a true story of his own about the guy who used to play the Happy Trails mascot, Reggie Raccoon. How he had lived for his job and went off the rails after it shut down. Ended up living there, sleeping in his costume, and one night, taking a giant shard of broken glass to the throats of some kids he caught vandalizing the Hall of Mirrors. Just before we arrived, Lizzie told us a story about one of the old security guards, Richie North. He'd slack off work all day, chasing Skirt around the park. His favorite trick, convincing girls to stay after the park closed for after dark rides in the love tunnel. Sadly for Richie, his wife Dana had been onto him from the very beginning. Over the years, her resentment built until she snapped. Richie was just reaching the part of the ride he'd always make his move with his latest conquest when several wet, squishy objects fell from the inky shadows into their laps. It wasn't until they emerged from the dark tunnel that they could make out the features of the last few girls he'd doomed with his philandering, their faces frozen on their decapitated heads with looks of terror. The couple were too busy mirroring to notice Dana, waiting at the end of the line, axe poised like a maniacal executioner. Arriving at the park, we quickly found our way inside, via a gap in the fences, and were all immediately absorbed by our gleeful exploration. The girls added to the graffiti in the Hall of Mirrors and red marker, and Brandon attempted to climb to the top of the Ferris wheel, only to give up quickly thanks to a newly discovered fear, not of ghosts, but heights. Our final stop was none other than the Love Tunnel. A pungent, damp smell hung in the air, and peeling pink paint covered just about every surface, all coated with years of graffiti, some relating to the fate of Richie North, but the majority just public records on who sucked who's what in this location over the past decade or so. Riding the boats would be impossible without power, but years of keen explorers with a lack of respect for staff-only signs made it possible to follow the path around the tunnel. By this time, Stephen lost all motivation for ghost hunting and leapt onto one of the grounded boats that had been dragged out of the water, swinging himself around the neck of the swan figurehead at the boat's prow before making himself comfortable on the worn vinyl of the boat's front bench whilst reaching into his backpack to retrieve beers. Just as we were beginning to consider our walk back to town, Lizzie gently brushed my hand and asked if I'd walk the ride track with her. My heart rate spiked, and any wit or charisma I displayed during my energetic storytelling immediately evaporated. I took a long drink from my beer, while I tried to think up the perfect response that would come across as keen, but not too keen in case she had only been joking. The pause was becoming uncomfortable, so gulping down the last of the bitter liquid in the can with a wince, I managed to cough.
Sure.
Real smooth. Switching on my flashlight, we passed into the tunnel, the laughter and voices of our friends growing more muffled, before fading out entirely. As we reached the corner of a ride where the walls grew closer, the ceiling of the tunnel seemed to be freckled with mirrored glass, shapes that caught the light and sent it refracting and cascading around the narrow space, spooking a large brown rat which came running directly at us, giving us both a fright, prompting Lizzie to instinctively lean into me and grab for my hand. It wasn't until 10 seconds or so later that either of us realized that she had kept hold of my hand, and that we were now standing face to face in the tunnel surrounded by dancing lights. I started to say something. But then I thought it best just to close my eyes and lean in.
End of the line, Richie!
A cackling voice shouted from up ahead, before being replaced by god-awful screaming and then footsteps running right at us. I instinctively, and later to my shame, pushed past Lizzie and made a run in the direction we'd come from, only to hear the shrill voice once again.
Nowhere to run, Richie!
It was followed by more footsteps and a figure coming at me from the other direction out of the shadows. Before I could protest, something hit me hard in the crotch, and I doubled over in surprise and pain. In an instant, the shapes were on me, and I was tackled to the floor, screaming in desperation. The laughter started almost immediately. Steve and Brandon, who'd tackled me, rolled about in fits. Other laughs from Susie and Mary could be heard further away. Steve spoke first with great effort through his laughter.
You should have seen your face!
Pulling a face to imitate me, while doing as an effeminate a voice as he can muster, screamed,
"No, please, I'm not Richie."
Brandon then chimed in, pointing at a dark stain in my lap.
"Dude, have you pissed yourself?"
Laughter erupted from the group once again, even from Lizzie. I protested that the mark was from the can Brandon had launched into me just before he tackled me, but no one was listening. At that point, the emotional shift got the better of me. I lost my temper, and in a fit of rage and embarrassment, I shoved Brandon, sending him tumbling into the shallow water in the boat track before storming away from the group. I'd learned the next day that Brandon needed a couple of stitches and had twisted his knee in the fall. And while there was no major backlash or official trouble from my tantrum that night, I wasn't close with the group after that, and never did get another shot with Lizzie. Come graduation, we made hollow promises to keep in touch that none of us would keep. Having spent my day only half concentrating on the job I'd been completing, my head filled with bittersweet memories and forgotten melancholy of lost friendships and previous embarrassments, I decided to spend some time looking into the truth behind the park's legends. My disappointment dawned slowly, but was absolute. No missing persons reports, no accidents, certainly no murders. The park closed due to falling gate numbers, bad business decisions, and asbestos. Chuck Crawford, who played Ralphie Raccoon, was arrested for being drunk and disorderly a few weeks after the park initially closed, having indeed taken the loss of his job hard, but a $40 fine was the only life lesson he needed, and is now a bus driver in town. Richie North really did spend most of his time slacking off work to chase skirt. This is where the similarities ended, however, as Richie, 100 pounds too heavy, and two pimples too ugly to ever catch any. While he had died suddenly, this had been down to cholesterol, rather than a long-suffering spouse's revenge. I struggled with the mundane truth behind the place, that impacted my thoughts so much growing up. There had to be something. I needed to visit it once again. The first visit to the park was almost intoxicating. Memories came flooding back. Every nook and cranny of the place was practically screaming with enticing mystery and intrigue. One trip quickly grew into several weekends lost to exploring the park. Then, one week in summer, I came up with a very specific task in mind. There was somewhere I needed to reach. Having worked on the apartment blocks before, heights were no problem. With ropes for support, reaching the top of the wheel was inevitable. While I was physically capable of the climb, it was excruciating mentally. The tension and anticipation building into a fever pitch as I inched upwards, to uncover what I was sure would be the big reveal. As my eyes peered over the top of the cabin, my gaze fell on what looked like ragged old clothes. Scrambling into the cabin, I snatched up the garments to examine them. Moments later, as I gripped the discarded Halloween costume in my hands, my knuckles white with exertion and anger, I saw something scratched into the edge of the cabin seating. Disappointing, right? With a roar, I flung the costume over the edge to the ground below and looked out over my park. The first time I'd ever seen it from a singular viewpoint. And that's when things finally snapped into place. The perspective, just the final piece of the puzzle I'd been missing. This was my park. In the weeks that have passed since my epiphany, I've been very busy indeed. With a little work, I've been able to get the lighting and a few of the rides working to a degree, and put together a few games and surprises for the next set of visitors that come to investigate the legends of Happy Trails. I've even found a head from one of the old Raffy Raccoon costumes and patched it up, all just in time for Halloween tomorrow. I expect next year there's going to be a whole lot of new stories about this place. It's going to be legendary.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Stories. Happy Trails, written by Andy Conbert Turner, narrated by Justin Fife, edited by Carl Hughes, with music by Purple Planet Music and Tom Robson. Today's episode was a guest story, written and contributed by Andy Conbert Turner. Andy is currently putting together some horrific tales of horror in the medium of comics. You can follow his work and keep up to date with him at Horde Comics over on Twitter. If you've got a story in you and you fancy having it professionally produced and narrated and put out there for the Other Stories audience, then go to hawkandcleaver.com/submissions and read through the details there. Once again, we look forward to seeing what dark and twisted fantasies lie within that pretty little noggin of yours.
Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.